Hi, Sandra. Today I'd like to talk a bit about a recent discovery, which is in the series of why are the narcissists, the psychopaths, the sociopaths so pervasive in society, in humanity. And via an interaction which I had, I realized that, of course, their behavior is based on traumatic, blocked memories. It is also based on a reflex behavior, reflex response. And it also means that these reflexes are in a different dimension and they are at a different time scale. It's funny because I always realized that, and the schemata that I use to represent that, they always already showed that when you go from the conscious to the subconscious to the unconscious to the out of conscious, you also shift from, say, the time base that we are connected to in the environment, which in the dream cycle would be the beta brainwaves. And then when you close your eyes and go to the dream world, the alpha brainwaves, essentially the process of thinking goes 10 times as fast, just to give it a number. And when you go deeper still to the theta brainwaves of the sleep cycle, then again, the time base goes up, say, tenfold. And then finally, when you shift to the delta brainwaves of the cellular level of the out of conscious, again, the time base goes up tenfold, approximately, just to give it a number. That means that when you go from the conscious to the subconscious, to the unconscious, to the out of conscious, and you go from freedom of choice to decisions, to convictions, to reflex behavior, every time it goes, let's say, 10 times as fast, just to give it a number. But it also means that when people are caught up in isolation because they're still stuck in traumatic reflex behavior, they had to separate themselves from their situation in their life experience because it was an unlivable situation, but it got stored in their memory. If they identified with that memory, they relive that memory. We've already talked about that. And then I reintroduced these concepts of hell, purgatory, devil, as the traumatic memory is that what has been repressed and locked away. Let's call it hell. Of course, it needs energy to lock it away. It has an emotional charge around it. Let's call that purgatory. And then in the same way that that memory was stored with a specific environment, with a specific intent, with a specific outcome, and with a specific effect on the body, always those four, then when those circumstances or that intent or that body part or that situation or that outcome is active, then the reflex can be reactivated and the little devil pops up out of hell. And you're talking with somebody and suddenly there is this explosive behavior and basically have no response to it because there's no consciousness involved. The other is most often unaware what happens because it is a reflex taking over. And if that happens a lot or if this happens systematically, then that's called subpersonality. We talked about that. And people can have a lot of subpersonalities. They can have a lot of hidden trauma. And that means that in interaction with their environment, in interaction with others, these traumatic memories can be reactivated. The devil comes out of the box. And the people around them are suddenly baffled by what goes on because they don't have any connection, any association with that specific trigger for the traumatic memory of the other. So they're at a loss They try to figure it out, and they can't. And I've had some experiences with that, as a result of which I went into this whole discovery tour. I was dealing with some people where the behavior was just erratic. It was nonsensical. They just did something, and in interacting with it, that didn't help. That only made it worse, because it seemed to backfire all the time. And it is more recently that I realize, recognize, and respected how the old Greeks already understood that in their metaphor of Narcissus. The young guy, the young lad who basically doesn't hear his echo, so has no notion of what he has been doing and the consequences of what he's doing, because he's so absorbed in his self-image, his self-reflection. He actually, in the story of Narcissus, drowns in self-reflection by gazing into a puddle and seeing his own image reflected. And of course, it's a mirror image. So right is left and left is right. Front is back and back is front. Top is bottom, bottom is top. Inside out, outside is in. So everything is the wrong way around, and that's what I've talked about at another occasion, is what happens when you go from the outside to the inside, when you cross a boundary. In mathematics, you would say what is positive on the one side of the equation sign becomes negative on the other side of the equation sign. So when the narcissist identifies with the traumatic experience, gets sort of sucked into that, and starts to live by that and live from that, then everything is the wrong way around for them too. And I also talked about how when people are locked in this traumatic experience, they look out on the world from that limited perspective of that traumatic experience. They alienated from the rest of their being, they alienated from, let's say, their soul, and they got sucked in, stuck in this little traumatic memory with its emotion. So when they look out, they see everything from that perspective. That trauma, that experience is their norm. I call that the new normal at that time, and the Great Reset as well. And at that, in that essay, I also talked about how from that limited perspective, they then look at everything through that emotional charge which is associated with it. And that helped me understand why they are so quick at identifying, activating, and triggering the hidden emotions in others. Now, the others have repressed it, but they're covered up by this emotional charge. And the narcissist, the psychopath, the sociopath, they are living from that little hell. Their carrier frequency, their radio station frequency, is that specific emotional trauma. And from that emotional trauma, they then identify the emotional trauma of the other. In a way, they recognize that wavelength, tune in on that wavelength, and reactivate the trauma in the others. What is important is the realization that none of this is conscious, because they went away from their conscious to the subconscious, to the unconscious, to the out-of-conscious, because they went from freedom of choice to the decision, to the conviction, to the reflex. So when they operate from the reflex level, they activate the conviction from the reflex level, they activate the decision from the reflex level, and cannot think beyond that, because they're locked in that specific little hell. Again, recapitulating what I've said before, in the way I look at it now, and that's the approach offered by system theory, which is a recapitulation of alchemy, we can look at the state, the process, the transformation, and the integration. And in that way, we can look at individuals relating to their environment, being in their own state, relating to others, being part of a group, and being part of humanity. And in the same way as we can see in our body that we connect the outside and the inside via the sensory cell, which is a point, which then via the neuron, which is a line, connects into the neural plexus, which is a tapestry or a plane, which then goes into the brain, which is three-dimensional. We have these four dimensions in going from the outside to the inside, from the one side to the other side. But these four dimensions pertain to a different level of complexity. So it's the point, the line, the plane, and the volume. And the same pattern we see in that relationship of the individual, in the relationship, in groups, in humanity. And when people get locked into their unresolved trauma, they will get locked into one of those four dimensions, depending on what kind of traumatic experience it was. It is something which affects or afflicts themselves and nobody else is involved. And that means that they need to shield themselves from their environment, and that's called an autistic response. When this breakage in their life experience, that their traumatic experience, takes place in interaction with another, then their disconnect from the soul is associated with relationships, but relationships are a subconscious interaction. When that disconnect, that break into in their experience in the environment, the disrupt on their soul, took place in a group setting where things are more complex, then that traumatic experience, that alienation experience, operates at the level of the unconscious. And finally, when that happens, basically in the universe as a whole, and as a consequence, at the out-of-conscious level, that is where it then affects everything. And so that's where you can then say these people are sociopaths, because they will have that problem with everybody. So that was the categorization which I already introduced, using system theory, the recapitulation of alchemy, which is the same as the essence of the four-dimensional dynamic logic. If people become alienated within themselves, that's called autism. It is something at a conscious level, even though the whole carrying out takes place through the other levels of unconsciousness and so on. When that disconnect takes place in the relationship, it's at the subconscious level. The narcissist, it's the distortion of the relationship. When it distorts the group interaction or the group relationship, which is a relationship of relationships, then it operates in the unconscious, the psychopath. And then when it is in the experience of essentially everything, then it takes place in the out-of-conscious, which is then, in my terminology, the sociopath. So the autist, the narcissist, the psychopath, and the sociopath, they operate at four levels of consciousness, conscious, subconscious, unconscious, out-of-conscious. And so when they interact with others, they interact from the conscious, the subconscious, the unconscious, and the out-of-conscious. And that is what I have described before, that with the narcissist, people get confused, because what happens in, from, through, and by the narcissist takes place at the subconscious reflex level. For the psychopath, it is even more tricky, because that takes place at the unconscious reflex level. The sociopath, it is very difficult, because it takes place at the out-of-conscious reflex level. That means that only the people who are conscious of their subconscious can interact with the narcissist, because they see what happens and they will have the ability to respond at that level where things happen. They are able to work with their subconscious responses to basically balance or communicate with the narcissist at that level. Most people have not developed that, so they are caught out. The people who have developed that are then the ones who can communicate with the narcissist and help others to regain or maintain a balance. Same is the case for the psychopath. The people need to be aware of their unconscious in order to be able to see what the psychopath is doing. And so that when the psychopath is doing something, they are aware of their unconscious reflexes being triggered. And if they're aware of that, then they would have unconscious reflex response at that level. So again, they can communicate with these psychopaths. Same for the sociopaths, but now at a deeper level, the out of conscious. So essentially, the people who have that depth of understanding of themselves, that they can work in the out-of-conscious level, which is, say, the comatose deep sleep level, those are really deep meditators because they have learned to operate at that level. And essentially, it means that the healers, the true healers and the deep healers, are the ones who can then also help the narcissist, the psychopath, and the sociopath. This I have already talked before, and what my realization was just in the past few days was that I needed to include into that understanding not just only that there are different levels of consciousness, but that there are also at different time scales. I already knew that, but I just had not made the link. It just hadn't clicked, so to say. I had ignored that when you go to the subconscious, things speed up. When you go to the unconscious, things speed up. When you go to the out-of-conscious, things speed up. Survival reflexes, they are really very fast. Experiential reflexes, they are really fast. Relational reflexes, they are fast. And it means that people are not just caught out in interaction with the narcissist, the psychopath, and the sociopath, because it takes place at a different level of consciousness, but it also takes place at a different time scale. Essentially, you can say that the narcissist, the psychopath, and the sociopath will outpace you at any time because they act from reflex, and you're still thinking. They've already activated a reflex because they didn't think about activating a reflex. They act from reflex, so it's unconscious, it's irresponsible, and it's totally alienated. And when you speak with them about their reflex, most often they cannot connect to it. They just reactivate the reflex. And I've had a lot of training with that and a lot of experience with that, because I met some people where I saw this happen. I saw that they went into reflex, and later on I asked them, what just happened? This happened and you had that response, and then the typical reflex response came. Exactly the same wording, exactly the same melody, exactly the same tonality, exactly the same rhythm, a total reflex replay, and they just started to repeat that what they had just said. And they had the corresponding emotions to go with it. And at other times I realized that they have these corresponding emotions and this kind of way of talking, because most often these are memories from a different time. So sometimes you can hear them go to a child voice, or an adolescent voice, or a baby voice. But in any case, they then simply repeat, because what is activated is a totally irresponsible reflex pattern. It just kicks in, runs its script again and again and again until people stop bothering them, so to say. That's essential in recognizing where the how the reflexes work. And so when you interact with people with the reflex, yes, you can get them to become aware of the reflex by pointing out the reflex, but it takes a while because it is the same as in the processing of a trauma. People get sucked into that reflex memory. So in body work or in hypnosis or in kinesiology, when you're working with the body mind of people and enter into their memories, and specifically when you enter into their traumatic memories, they get totally sucked in into that memory lock. They are suddenly caught up in that blind spot, that black hole of the repressed memory, and it is in the deep freeze. It's in hell. So it just replays as it was. Nothing has been changed because it hasn't been digested, because it became separate from their whole life experience. But when people are in that life experience and you ask them to keep on breathing, then two things happen. First of all, they become aware that the reflex replay, it's okay. They don't have to get immersed with it. And by becoming aware of the breathing, they are aware that there is something else going on, that they can actually breathe, become aware, be aware of their breathing, and be aware that there is a reflex replay. It is as if they are able to step out of that virtual reality room, take off the virtual reality goggles, see the screen of the virtual reality goggles, but also know that they're outside of that dream or nightmare. And then they can make the switch, and then they can reconnect the traumatic memory to the digestive system. It can be dismantled, it can be dissolved, it can be disintegrated, it can be integrated. And from then on, that memory is just a memory. There's no charge about it. It doesn't reactivate. It doesn't take over. They are back in their freedom of choice experience of their life. So the same happens when people are caught up in their reflexes. This, as in the therapeutic session, that moment can then become a therapeutic session, and they can be reminded that what they said, they have just said, and what they felt, they already felt, and that what they are doing is actually just repeating themselves. And once they become aware that they are repeating themselves, it's the same as people becoming aware that they are breathing while they are experiencing the traumatic memory. They can step out of that lock-in in that little hell of the automatic replay of that reflex, and they start to look at it. So that I already knew, but then just recently that realization came back in place that I need to account for this difference in timescale. The narcissist will operate by subconscious reflex 10 times as fast as you can think. Your own subconscious reflexes are 10 times as fast as you can think. But if you do not have a subconscious reflex which can interact with, respond to that subconscious reflex of the narcissist, you're caught out. The same when the psychopath has this unconscious reflex going on, 100 times faster than you can think, so to say. If you don't have a corresponding unconscious reflex to deal with that, if you've never had the experience, if you don't know what you're dealing with, then you're too late. For the sociopath, it is 10 times as fast again. And that gave me the understanding that the reason why the narcissist, the psychopath, and the sociopath tend to get dominant role in society is because people simply do not realize that there is no thinking involved. That yes, they are quick, but note they are not clever. Yes, they are quick, but actually they're stupid. And this is where I want to connect this insight of the time scales of the narcissist, the psychopath, and the sociopath to artificial intelligence. Yes, the computer can be quick, but it is totally, absolutely stupid. The artificial intelligence program is just another reflex. It's just another narcissist, another psychopath, another sociopath. And when people give credulity to, when they start to believe in artificial intelligence, it is the same as listening to a psychopath, which is somebody who's absent. It is somebody who's locked into a reflex, living in their little hell, doing an action replay. And yes, they have a lot of action replay protocols. So for most situations, they have something that fits. And you really need to look at the psychopath, the sociopath, to see that narcissistic behavior of they're actually disconnected. They're just saying anything. They'll just say or do anything to keep you away. It is simply a defensive reflex, doing a defensive reflex replay. It is a mirroring of something they have seen somewhere else. And there is no consciousness involved. It's subconscious, unconscious, or out of conscious. It's 10 times as fast, 100 times as fast, or 1,000 times as fast. And that is why people cannot properly respond to them. And the same for artificial intelligence. Yes, it is quick, but it cannot think. It's an action replay. It is just a repetition of something that happened before. And just as in the narcissist, the psychopath, or the sociopath, they have been living in that hell so long that they have collected so many reflexes by which they can reflect something, as a result of which somebody says, okay, there is a response, let's go on. But there is no response. There is just a defensive reflex reaction. And keeping that in mind, what we now need to know, what we now need to do, is prepare a defensive reflex reaction to interact, to deal with artificial intelligence. So now we can connect that. Artificial intelligence is just another instance of alienation. It's just a computer repeating something that somebody has programmed in. That makes it irresponsible and unconscious. Same as a group. A group is unconscious and irresponsible. There's nobody who can be held accountable for what groupthink does. So when people are caught in groupthink, they too are caught in these kind of reflex patterns. They are acting from the unconscious, because a group operates by relationship of relationships. As an individual in the group, they're conscious. In their relationships in that group, they're subconscious. In interacting with the relationship between the others that they are not directly relating to, all of that is in the unconscious. So a group dynamic is in the unconscious. And as all of these people involved are involved, the group dynamic is not 1,000 times as fast as that of the individual, but it is seemingly 1,000 times as strong. The group consciousness builds up slower and maintains longer. That's how cultures are created too, because they share a decision, they share a conviction, and they act on that. But it means that in interacting with group consciousness, collective consciousness, people do not know how to interact with that, because it takes place at the level of the unconscious. It's only when they can act to the at the unconscious level, they can work with the emotions of the subconscious, they can work with the will, the intent of the unconscious, and they can work with the reality, realization of the out of conscious, that they can work with these narcissists, psychopaths, and sociopaths, or in a relationship, maintain the balance, in groups, maintain their integrity, in humanity, maintain their identity. These are really important things. So when people propose that we can now use artificial intelligence, which is no more than a search engine with a censorship attached to it, artificial intelligence is just a search engine with a database. It doesn't create its database. It doesn't program its search engines. The program has been put in by somebody, and that somebody is essentially comparable to an individual operating trauma-based mind control, a slave master, disregarding the freedom of choice of others. A computer, of course, is a perfect slave, as the first computers always had it. You press the button and immediately it says, okay, ready for the next command. They actually use that word. And in dealing with artificial intelligence, it is still that computer, the slave, ready for the new command. And artificial intelligence is still a computer doing what a programmer has told it. So the computer is simply totally, absolutely mind-controlled, and it can only do what the programmer has built in. The computer itself lives in that little hell because it does not have freedom of choice. It's actually programmed to be devoid of freedom of choice. It can play around with some variations of the programs which there are, as a result of which it can do this juggling thing to create this kaleidoscopic image, which is colorful and dynamic but essentially meaningless. It's in the same way that mathematicians, when they shifted from analytical mathematics, where you really understand what you're doing, to statistics, where you forget that if you look at the dice rolling closely enough, you can see where it bumps, how it bumps, and you can predict exactly on which side it will fall. Statistics disconnects from that scrutiny and then fuzzes it over by a pretense understanding, by going to a generalized understanding, and thereby losing the true understanding. It is the same kind of transition from conscious to subconscious to unconscious to out of conscious. So in mathematics, you have it in the clear daylight, and then in statistics, you can shove it into the shadows. And when you program a computer with statistics, you can shove it into the dark. And so now we have the invitation to be aware of this and to realize that in interacting with artificial intelligence, we are simply interacting with a computer which cannot think, is not allowed to think, doesn't have freedom of choice. Then that is essentially the same as somebody who's been locked into the little hell of a traumatic experience. They live by reflex, they operate by reflex, and they have their, say, parameters. That's called the purgatory or the emotional filter around it. And in doing that, we can then realize that in dealing with artificial intelligence, we're dealing with the psychopath. And then, of course, we now have the understanding that we can then learn how to deal with that, because essentially we will need to have programs by which we can bypass and filter everything that is now being done by artificial intelligence. We need to have a local artificial intelligence that can shut off all of these reflex, routine-based, repetitive, replicating artificial intelligence moves. It also means that we then will have the knowledge to be able to understand, assess, and address the narcissist, the psychopath, and the sociopaths. And as I mentioned before, the remedy to interact with the narcissist, the psychopath, and the sociopath, which then also is the remedy to be able to interact with artificial intelligence and the narcissist, the psychopath, and the sociopath, which are creating it, the remedy lies in your being able to go to the subconscious, to the unconscious, and the out-of-conscious. Because once you operate there, then you will not be bamboozled by people saying, there is now artificial intelligence and it can write the text for you. Yes, to which extent has the newspaper script been written by artificial intelligence for a couple of years already? As Sandra mentioned, to which extent have the war scripts already been written by artificial intelligence? To which extent is the medical script written by artificial intelligence? The replacement of doctors by pills made by the pharmaceutical industry working for profit is another example of this psychopathic disconnection, that the desire for profit has determined what these factories can do, which determined what kind of pills were being produced. As people know, the DSM, the manual for psychiatric drugs, was created by having pills seeking a market. And so then the pills become the driving force of what kind of remedy of therapy people get proposed by the doctor, who has been educated specifically to believe in that paradigm. Fortunately, there are other healers who are free from that paradigm and who still understand how the body works, and who also understand that there are different levels of consciousness in the body, and that the disease is not caused by a lack of a pill, but that the disease is caused by the cells having gotten confused, most often by the cells getting caught up in a traumatic memory, because it needs to be stored somewhere in the body. So when it is stored in the vicinity or in the area of those cells, the cells cannot properly do what they need to do, because there is this big noise of this repressed traumatic memory. It's the burning flames of hell surrounding that cells, as a result of which they lose contact with the cells around them. They're no longer part of the hologram. The cells themselves become alienated, the alienation principle carried over from the mind to the body by the psychosomatic mechanism. And then these cells cannot synchronize with the other cells anymore. They cannot catch up in the rhythm of the other cells. Again, that principle of the shift of the time frame, the time scale. And these cells then just repeat themselves, again, that principle of the reflex, in the rhythm that they have, the fallback rhythm, which is innate in the cell. And then that cell just keeps on growing and growing and can't stop, and that's what's called cancer. So the principle of the cancer, the principle of alienation, the principle of artificial intelligence, the principle of computing, the principle of pharmaceutical companies with a profit motive, they are all consequential to that concept of alienation. And the remedy lies there in that we need to be able to resolve our own alienation. We need to look into our subconscious and look at everything that we just do by emotional response. It feels good or it doesn't feel good. And by looking into those reasons, the emotions can be replaced by reasons. And that really cleans up the subconscious. Then once the subconscious is cleaned up, it is possible to go one level deeper, go to the unconscious, and then look into all of these convictions. Why is it true? Why is it not true? Byron Katie is looking at that. Many people have been looking at that. It's basically those are stories recapitulating old Buddhist and Taoist understandings of how the mind-body works. So when you go into the unconscious, where all these beliefs are, that's where all these mystic teachings have their demons and their gods as the representation of specific categories of beliefs, so that people can learn to work with those beliefs and they can recognize their emotions and they can dialogue with their emotions. In antiquity, they called it the gods of the Olympus. So when there is anger in your system, you start talking with Mars, and then you start renegotiating with Mars that instead of anger, it becomes creativity. And so on, for all of these organs in the body, for all of their corresponding emotional states. And in that way, the gods of the Olympus within us, which is the machinery, the engine of the unconscious, can then become something which you can drive rather than it driving you. So that you can decide your life instead of you dying by your convictions. And most wars are example of people dying by their convictions. They cannot dismantle the emotional charge that people around them are inflicting on them. And so they cannot step out of that trap, come back to freedom of choice, and they get sucked into that vertigo mass belief in war, which essentially is a succumbing to a derailed creative principle, the deities of the East, the gods of the Olympus, the chakras of the Far East, the emotions within your body. So then you can clear them up and clean them up, and in that way speed up and go to the deepest level, where you then get the out of conscious reflex behavior, which is actually where the reflexes work, so that you can then see what the reflexes are that you're working with, and that you can then create programs and protocols to filter out dysfunctional reflexes. And again, in the traditional forms of healing and the traditional religions, they are then represented by stories of different kind, so that people learn to not be afraid of their reflexes, that they can talk with Loki, the mischief monger, that they can talk with Coyote, Eshu, all of these reflexes which work the wrong way around, that they can talk with the devil, stare him in the face and tell him that this is not the way it works. And again, that connects to something I recognized only recently, that when people go into their little hell, they can actually, if they're connected to their soul, suck their soul into their little hell. And so they become devils. They can actually become powerful devils, but they are still narcissists, psychopaths, or sociopaths. They're just locked in their little hell, even though they appear to be powerful. And even though they might believe that they're connected to their soul, that what they are doing is divine. And as I discovered recently, the devil of the devil worshippers is the same as the Jesus of the Jesus worshipper. Because if you look at the way the body works, we operate body, mind, soul, and spirit. And then mind connects to the soul, and the soul is the integrative factor in our body. But it is also the integrating factor to our first cell. The first cell is also the pivot point, the integrating factor into all of humanity via our ancestors. And that means that the soul is also the connection to everything on life on earth and creation as a whole. The soul is that decision tree by which the first cell, the zygote, unfolds. But that means that that soul is the antenna to the integrity of the body, to your connectedness to humanity, to your integration in humanity, to the integrity or integration of humanity in all life forms of Earth, and to the connection of all life forms of Earth into creation in the universe. So the soul is then the same as what is also called Jesus, and if Jesus gets disconnected, called the devil. So if the soul is connected to spirit, which is the principle of universal creation, let's call it the tetrionic quantum field, which is a field of a phase information. It's a it's an information field, akasha. It's also the field that connects everything. It's the domain of love, and then that connects precisely to the description of those religions of God being omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient. It's essentially the soul connecting into the quantum field, and when the soul activates into the quantum field, it operates the decisions that we take in our life, and in doing that, it triggers the God, the I-God principle, because we, in creating a decision, we connect or disconnect in the universal field, in the spirit domain. So the soul can then connect or disconnect into the spirit domain, and people who have fallen into their little hell, they can, if they were already connected to their soul, they will pull their soul into their little hell, and the soul, by self-defense, so to say, as a principle of concept, will need to disconnect from spirit. That's where the light soul becomes the dark soul. And then people will operate from their dark soul. They still will have that larger perspective, that larger understanding, but it will be disconnected from spirit. It will still be alienated. It will still be disconnected from everything else. And that's why the old religions and the old traditions always say that if you connect to Jesus and through Jesus to God, if you connect to your soul and your soul is connected to spirit, then you can see that the people with the dark soul are basically lost. And the only way to reconnect them, as the biblical saying has, Jesus is the way, that your soul is the way. When you connect to your soul will show you the way to reconnect them. And I've had an experience in the past where we just did that. That worked very well. So I know it works. And it also means that if you want to be able to heal the narcissist, the psychopath, and the sociopath, you basically need to heal the narcissist, the psychopath, and the sociopath within yourself. And that brings me back to the core of this story that, yes, in order to be able to do that, you need to understand that the narcissist in you is in the subconscious. That psychopath in you is in the unconscious. And the sociopath in you is in the out of conscious. So you all have always have these parts which didn't connect into the whole, the pieces of the puzzle which didn't fit into the puzzle, and they're just lying around somewhere. They get triggered like the little devils in the little hell in the stories. But once you learn how to shift into that level of subconscious, unconscious, and out of conscious, you can navigate there. And then you also realize, and people who have experience with meditation, they know that when you go to the subconscious, time speeds up. When you go to the unconscious, time speeds up. When you go to the out-of-conscious, time speeds up. I once was sitting in St. Paul's Cathedral, and I had a two-hour meditation, lots of insights. And then I got out of the meditation because my head sort of had fallen, and I realized that this two-hour of meditation was in the time that it took for my head to nod down from vertical to its lowest position. So that was within a fraction of a second. And that is where I realized that, yes, in meditation you can shift these time scales. And that also means that when you interact with the narcissist, the psychopath, and the sociopath, You can do that, but you need to do that from that state of meditation. So you need to be able to shift to the subconscious, the alpha brain waves. You need to be able to shift to the unconscious, the theta brain waves. You need to be able to shift to the out of conscious, the delta brain waves. And that means, and that's the basis of mystery school training and teachings, that you learn to meditate at those four levels of consciousness while you are awake. That that's also called learning to die before you die, so that you can live while you live. Essentially, it is that you learn to be awake while you sleep and integrate the alpha, the beta, the alpha, the theta, and the delta brainwaves into the beta brainwaves, so that you navigate all four of them, and in that sense have four musical scores playing at the same time, so that your life becomes, say, harmonic, symphonic, holographic, and that your individual awareness at the beta brainwave level is then connected to how you relate into the environment at the alpha brainwave level, which then also connects to your choices in the environment at the theta brainwave level, the capacity to transform and to see the transformation as they process. At the deepest level, to always see the universe as a whole and realize that everything that exists exists because it is part of that ongoing universal process. And as they said in the past, if it exists, it's okay for God, so why do you have an opinion? Well, you can have an opinion so that you can think about it, so that you can learn from it, so that you can enhance the quality of universal being as a creator in creation. And that then is basically the conclusion of this exploration. I started with this insight that when people are operating a narcissistic, psychopathic, or sociopathic conduct, it simply means that they are lost in their little hell. They cannot get out of it. And as a result, they act by reflex. Their defensive reflex is offensive to others. And when they do that from their subconscious, unconscious, and out of conscious, but also with the corresponding time scale. So they're 10 times, 100 times, or 1,000 times faster than you can think. And in order to be able to deal with that, you need to understand that. In order to be able to address that, you need to be able to function at those levels. And functioning at those levels means that you have the experience of meditation to go to the alpha, the theta, the delta brainwave levels, so that you're not caught out in that process. And once you understand that, then you can see what they're doing, just reflex behavior. Yes, it might be connected to what they believe to be their soul. And in a way, their soul does still serve them, but their soul cannot at the same time serve spirit. So they will lose out if your soul is connected to spirit, because you can see that they're just little devil doing their little diabolical thing, even if there's thousands of them doing it, and even if they're doing it for thousands of years, because you see it doesn't compute into the rest of the universe. And in that same way, you can then understand that artificial intelligence doesn't compute in the rest of the universe. Yes, it is a clever and quick computing technique, and it's an interesting technology because you can quickly look through a lot of databases, but these databases too are things from the past, just like the reflexes are things from the past. And by understanding that sameness, it is much easier to not be caught out and not to fall for the belief that the artificial intelligence is the second coming of the Christ, the rescuer, which will save humanity, and people just have to succumb to the artificial intelligence become an extension of the computer. And it's funny because, of course, that was the whole story of the Antichrist. But if you believe the Antichrist, yes, you already entered into hell. Because if you believe that artificial intelligence is your savior, then you have already written off your freedom of choice and don't even question what somebody else has said. And as some others then said, well, then you don't deserve your freedom of choice. Well, of course you deserve your freedom of choice because you're here to learn how to use it. And yes, you learn by making mistakes. And yes, you can deny your own freedom of choice. We talked about that before. And by realizing that, you can look into the most horrible things, step into hell, and discover that right at the depth of hell, there's somebody who just got lost. Maybe it might be you. And then once you've refound yourself, you can step out of that hell and realize that you can stop repeating yourself, stop listening to artificial intelligence, and start to live again. So let me conclude with that. Thank you.